from the PinPals.Buzz corporate headquarters in Northern California, right next door to the abandoned beauty salon. It's the Prison Pen Pal Podcast. Hear stories from real inmates who want to write to you, from free world people who enjoy writing prisoners, and from just about anyone else involved in the world of Prison Pen Pal. On today's episode,
prison inmate and former MMA fighter Jason Evick joins the podcast from the Toledo Correctional Institution in Ohio to talk about how he was catfished on the Getting Out app.
Now, here's the host of the Prison Pen Pal Podcast, Big Steve.
We'll tell the listeners here who are you. So you signed up at penpals.buzz. This was not long ago. And we got on to Getting Out so that we could communicate with you on the Getting Out app. You said something like, oh, can you tell me who you are? Because we go through a lot of catfishing here in the prison through the Getting Out app, I'm assuming. And I thought, man, that's really interesting because, you know, so many people on the streets, you know, they think the inmates are doing the lying and the catfishing, and they're saying they're different age or they're lying about their crimes or all these things. But I've never heard until I talked to you that it's going both ways. And I just wanted to hear more about that. By the way, for everyone listening, it's Jason
Evick.
Evick, and you're A742969, the Toledo Correctional Institution in Ohio. So if anybody wants to write to you, get on to Getting Out, enter that info, and hopefully you can get in touch and don't be a catfish. So what's happened? Like, have you had personal experiences with the catfishing?
I actually believe I have, and I've seen other people that have been catfished as well. I've written down some scenarios that I've seen and experienced myself. One scenario, and it does go both ways. I've seen a lot of inmates lie and play their pen pals for financial gain. I've seen that several times. That kind of seems to be their main motivation for trying to get a pen pal. But I had a cellie one time. He was using a girl for money. He found her through a mutual friend, and then she found out that he had signed up on a pen pal website. So she confronted him about it, and of course he just said he was using it for money purposes to try to get some money on his commissary or whatever. So then she started getting on them. There's like Facebook pen pal pages for people looking for pen pals. So she got on there and posted his picture and asked if anyone had been pen paling with him. And a girl actually seen it and came forward and said, yeah, that was her man. And they ended up sharing screenshots of text messages between the two. And the girl actually was going and picking up his son and hanging out with his son and stuff. And
man,
she shared pictures of her with his son. So then from the Facebook pen pal pages, the other girl was finding people to start messaging him to see if he would talk to him and what he was saying.
Yeah, that's so crazy. They call those loyalty. They call those loyalty tests, and I always find that so bizarre. But this happens so much where they'll message and be like, "Hey," they'll pretend, they'll try to hit on the guy and see if he says, "Oh, I have a girlfriend. I can't talk to you." I guess I was lucky, Jason, because I was down for 11 years and I had over 100 different pen pals, and one of them became my wife, but I wasn't using them for money. And it was nice to have over those years so many different friends and connections. Nowadays, you know, and people on the streets, they talk to more than one person. You know, let's say you talk to your coworker, you don't have your wife say like, "Oh my God, you talked to your coworker. You need to talk to only me." It's not so exclusive like that, but it seems like with the pen pal thing, I guess if it turns romantic, if guys are looking for romance or money, there's a lot more jealousy that goes down with that.
Yeah. Well, congratulations on finding your wife. That's amazing.
I actually started penpals.buzz because I saw for sure that it worked. I knew from my own experience like how helpful it was just to have people to write to at night, you know, for a few hours every night. I'm writing letters, really helped get my mind off the fact I was stuck there next to a toilet sitting in a bunk smelling people's farts all day. I mean, you know, you got to get your mind away from that stuff. But I don't know. I there's this thing that a lot of the women in the free world seem to think a guy shouldn't be allowed to write to more than one person. And I always want to explore that idea more because I feel like if he's a trustworthy guy, you know, you could. I wrote to women. I wrote to men. There was a woman in her 70s. There was one who was 19. There was a man who was in Germany that was a professor. I mean, it wasn't like I was trying to marry all of these people, right? It was just learning about their lives and whatnot. But I understand, like, the guys, and I hear that a lot too, that a lot of the guys, it's just about getting money, getting commissary. So they'll tell you, oh, I love you, I want to be with you, that sort of thing, just to get that $100 on their books.
Yeah, actually scam them. Pretty much is what it boils down to.
That's too bad. I mean, I wish that didn't happen. I know that happens, but I know there's a lot of good people out there too. They're not all scammers, but I know there are some, and it is unfortunate because it makes what we're doing look bad to a lot of facility. You know, there's states like Florida, they won't even allow pen pals at all anymore. And it's just unfortunate because there's so much evidence that shows that inmates who have a pen pal or more than one pen pal while they're locked up, they're like 6 times less likely to reoffend when they get out. All sorts of evidence showing how this is a really good thing for society and reduces recidivism. Yet then you have these stories of the scamming going on, and then humongous states like Florida just say no pen pals are allowed at all. And I don't know, I feel like it does a disservice to a lot of the incarcerated people who could really benefit like I did from that. But let me hear like what happened to you, man. What are some of these scenarios of who do you think was catfishing you, and maybe why do you think they were?
I think maybe it's possible that some kind of, I don't know how to label it, but maybe like a child exploitation task force might troll those sites and try to see if adults would talk to kids just to see, because I had a young kid from California one time write me. I was on a pen pal, the first pen pal website I ever used, and this was several years ago. You know, I'm an ex-mixed martial artist, and this kid that I didn't know at first said, yeah, I'm a mixed martial arts fan, and, you know, he told me a little bit about his life, and I wrote him back, and then he said, well, I want you to know I'm 16. He said, but I want you to know that my parents know that I'm talking to you, and they really don't care. Well,
oh, man.
I'm just not going to do that.
And that's wow. That would scare the crap out of me.
To the other, and it did. I was speaking to my mother about it when she was still alive, and she said that the pen pal website I was using specifically states it's for adults only, and if anybody under the age of 18 was using the website, they're supposed to be reported. On that circumstance, I just never responded back, and I had my mother just report that account from the kid. But then there was a second. There's a second one, and you might have shed some light on it for me because I didn't know it was common. But this girl, she sent me a message, and she sent me a picture of herself, and she was a very beautiful woman, very beautiful. And she said she seen me on a pen pal website, and she wanted to get to know me. And I wrote her back, and I was like, thank you for writing. I'd like to get to know you, too. But then she just, on the very first day, said, well, you seem like an alpha male, and I chose to raise my daughter on my own. And I need some advice on help raising my daughter, and I feel like you're the one. Well, that kind of struck me odd, being in prison, and you never don't even really know who I am.
Yeah.
You want advice from a total stranger on how to raise your daughter.
Really, like, really freaking weird, Jason. That's some really freaking weird stuff. I mean, that's more than odd. That's like insanity.
Yeah, I felt so too. So, you know, kind of threw up a red flag. And I was like, well, you can ask me anything. I said, I'll just try to give my honest advice. Okay. Then later on in the day, she's like, I want you to know that I'm a very submissive woman. And I don't want you talking to any other women because I don't like competition. So I was like, man, this is really weird on the very first day I ever talked to you. So then I was just like, I wanted to see who I was truly talking to.
Yeah.
So I said, I think there's some catfishing that goes on in here. I was like, if you could, I was like, is there any way you could send me a videogram of yourself?
Oh, yeah.
And a videogram is like a 30-second video that they can send you.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, yeah, I'll get around to it.
Uh-huh, yeah. But she didn't?
She wrote me a message, she wrote me a message and said she did send one. And I was like, well, I never got it.
Mm.
So then she ended up sending one. And the video was like, it looked like a 12-year-old girl. The girl had blonde hair and blue eyes like her, but it was really, truly a child.
Oh, man.
And I kept looking at the video. I'm like, this is a child. And you could tell that the videogram, you could tell that, like, you can do them for 30 seconds. It was like a 6 minutes, and it was at the very end. You could tell the child had already been talking. So I wrote back, and I was like, I lied. I said, I deleted all my past messages. I forgot your age. I'm like, could you tell me your age again? I said, because that videogram looks like a child.
Yeah.
And I said, and I just don't speak to children.
Yeah.
So she never responded. So then I wrote back and I said, listen, I said, I don't know what you were up to. I said, but the videogram that you sent me is clearly a child. And I'm like, I'm not into that kind of stuff. I said, so, you know, some of the I said, some of the things that you discussed in your messages, I said, just didn't seem right. I said, you know, being the first time that, you know, we spoke, you wanted me to help raise your child and stuff. I said, so, you know, I just no longer would wish to speak to you, but I wish you the best of luck in life. So then, of course, and this happens every time,
uh-huh.
They write back and she specifically said, she said, you just seem rather paranoid for me.
Yeah.
She said, so I hope you find what you're looking for. Goodbye.
Yeah.
Like it was my fault.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah.
Like, well, of course I'm paranoid. You just sent me a video of a child.
Right.
That struck me very odd. So I don't know if it's a task force out of sea if you would try to talk to a child or not. I don't know.
I mean, it makes me think that could very well be, especially now that you've had like two different instances of this. And then have other guys there in Toledo, have you heard any similar stories like this?
On the child, I haven't. Okay. I don't know kids.
Mm-hmm.
Now, on the women trying to do the loyalty test, yeah, that happens often.
Isn't that crazy?
When it comes to,
crazy to me.
But when it comes to, yeah. I don't really talk to many guys in here anyway.
Yeah.
I kind of keep my circle small, but
mm-hmm.
And then another thing I have written down too is I think happened to me is I think my local law enforcement, my county that I've lived in my whole life, I think they were catfishing me to see if I would volunteer any information through like an informant. I think my local county got on there one time and used one of my ex-fiance to try to ask me questions about something that happened on my road before I got locked up, and they used her face and her name to try to get me talking about something that I had nothing to do with. So I think sometimes that local law enforcement officers will try to get on there and hop under accounts to see if you'll volunteer any information.
That's so scary. And I know with getting out and you're on getting out, And that's one in particular where people can just, and I've seen this so many times. I mean, when you sign up on the streets, you can put any name. You could be Ricardo Martinez or Michelle Mendoza or any freaking name you can imagine. You can just add that and they don't really check it. It doesn't have to match the credit card that you're using to pay. And man, I see that a lot. So I think it would be easy and I wouldn't put it past any law enforcement because I don't, obviously I don't like law enforcement. I'm sure none of us do who are listening to this, but I wouldn't put it past them to do exactly that. And that's really scary. It's almost like, how can you trust anyone who messages you on getting out? I would actually prefer a snail mail letter because then you've got the address. And let's say it's somebody in Oregon who you can write. And if you actually write to them in Oregon, at least you know it's not a cop from Ohio trying to bait you into something.
Right.
But it feels like, man, I mean, yeah. can you trust anybody now? I mean, let's say you get onto a site like penpals.buzz or I don't know which site you were on prior. If it was Write a Prisoner or one of the, there's so many now out there, but someone writes you from one of these sites. Do you trust anybody? And do you have people that you do communicate with that you feel comfortable with?
Me personally, I go into it trying to be optimistic, but then again, I try to figure out a way to verify who the person is. Like after I talk to them for a while, I'll say, hey, can I see a picture? If they send a picture, hey, you mind if I call so I can put a voice to it?
Yeah.
And then, hey, would you ever mind doing a video visit? So then you see the person that you're visiting. Does
right.
it match the picture? Like you try to go into it optimistic, but then yeah. again, in the back of your mind, you're thinking, is this person really who they say they are?
Dude, I saw your pictures on your pen pals.buzz profile, Jason. And you're like a badass, man. I you're definitely not the guy people would want to steal coffee from. And I saw that. I was like, man, is that guy really like, you're up there in the mixed martial arts there and you're about to beat somebody up. I was like, man, this guy's, I'm sure some of the ladies think, is this guy for real? I know you are. We verified your photos and all that, but they might see that and think like, wow, maybe that guy's using some fake photos, but you're not. That's the difference.
I appreciate that. Yeah, I used to fight mixed martial arts out of Cincinnati. My fights were always at the Belterra Casino in Indiana.
Oh, man.
I've been a competitor my whole life. To be honest, I tell people this, and they tend to believe I exaggerate, but I remember in first grade is when I started doing workout programs with my cousin.
Uh-huh.
And ever since first grade, I've just always worked out. That's always how I've just dealt with things. And I still to this day, I work out twice a day, every day for 5 years now. And that's just how I cope with things.
That's great.
Negative energy.
You got to do that. Yeah. You got to do that. And that's so great though, that you're able to continue. You're not like a lot of guys as soon as they, go to prison, they forget about workouts and they're buying honey buns and ramens, and that's the new life. So it's great you can continue that. But
yeah.
I feel like that would probably give you a little more confidence too when you're walking into the unit for the first time. You got those guys that don't know how to fight, and then I'd feel like, man, I don't really have to worry.
Here at Toledo, I'm not going to lie, it's a gladiator school, so.
Is it?
I've gotten some scraps. I try not to, but and you've done 11 years. Sometimes you're putting in a situation where you really don't have any choice.
Yeah, absolutely. And yeah.
So sometimes it does happen. And to be honest, I've never lost.
Yeah. No, I bet you
haven't. I've yet to lose one. So.
Yeah. If you called me a punk, I'd be like, thank you, sir. Thank you very much.
I'm a Christian.
Yeah. No, that's good. So, and you're, I think we're the same age. Are you 51 still? I'm 51. I noticed that. I was like, ooh, 1974, 70.
Yeah, I'm 51.
75. Let's give out your info one more time. So it's Jason Evick, A742-969, ODRC Toledo CI. That's how it shows up on Getting Out. search for Jason Evick and message him. Or you can go to penpals.buzz and find your snail mail address and all the photos we're talking about and your profile and learn more about Jason. And from what we've heard today, let's maybe send your phone number over in a message so that he can call you and make sure you're not Officer Johnson from the Toledo Police Department pretending to be a young child. Frightening stuff, man. Really, that makes me rethink a lot of what we're doing here. Just to really be more careful, make sure everyone's safe.
Yeah, I agree.
I want to say I hope things are going well there. I'm sure they're not well, but I hope you're hanging in there.
Yeah, I'm keeping my faith, and I'm trying to stay positive. And I just know one day life would be better than this.
For sure.
Yeah, I appreciate you having me on too, and everybody listening. May God bless you.
It's lockdown time for Big Steve. But he'll be back soon with another episode of the Prison Pen Pal Podcast. Want to get in touch? Email the podcast at penpals.buzz. Call 888-273-6725 or write to P.O. Box 456, Anderson, California, 96007.